So the first acknowledgement that's going to go out is a huge thanks to Andy in the back. You know, I've been the guy working at the sound booth, and I've been the guy who thought that they had everything ready for Sunday morning, and they could just have a little Zen moment before church started, and then some guest speaker shows up and goes, "Hey, I forgot, you know, to send you my PowerPoint." So thank you, Andy, for helping me out this morning. So I really kind of want to start out with our history with Northside. Like, who am I? Why am I here? What is this old fat guy? Because I'm here to tell you, it's a little tight. I was asked to put the microphone down my back a few minutes ago, and I'm like, no, it's not going to work. You got to do it. So my family and I, we attended church here from 2006 when I got back from my first deployment, and through 2012. This is where our family attended. Our kids grew up here. We have just a great history with the church. Can we get the first? And so I was going through photos last night, and I found this picture of David, and he doesn't look like that anymore. And so I was, now he's not here, so I can say that, right? You know, and Corey, since you're here, I have a picture of you that's coming up next service. I think from the same event. I'm not sure, but we'll figure it out. You are, you have much more hair. No, you didn't. There's no need lying to church. But to me, just such a great relationship with the church. And then, you know, my kids grew up here. And how do you not cry during this part? So this is a picture you took of Harrison being baptized. And I promise you, that is my kid. He has not gotten much taller, but that is our son. And so I had so many good pictures of our kids, and I told Sarah, I'm like, babe, I can't wait. Like, I get to pull these pictures up, and then I went through them, and I don't know if we were running when we took the photos, but every one of them was blurry. So I did go ahead and get another picture. So these are our kids, if you remember them. So this is Micah, Scott, and Harrison. I think this was taken like 2009. And then the next picture is all of us last weekend. Micah just got married in Mount Juliet last weekend. And so that's him and his wife. And Harrison's on the far left with his wife. And then Scott, who is like the 6'4" monster on the right-hand side. We would not let him come to church today because he has hair down to here. And his dad just, he hasn't gotten a haircut since 2020. It was COVID, right? 2019. Living on an army base, and every time that he showed up at a military event, they're like, "Get a hold of your kid," and I'm like, "Yeah, he's doing what he wants to." But Micah plays on a worship team at his church. Harrison and his wife Audrey run production at our church back in Dothan, Alabama, and Scott is probably one of the most deeply spiritual and just real people that you're ever going to meet when it comes to his faith in God. And that really came from our experience here at Northside. So I just wanted to say thanks for doing what you did. And I'm going to kind of bring this all back full circle here closer to the end. So today, you know, we're talking about Memorial Day. And I got it. It's not Veterans Day. But I need a huge favor. If you ever serve, could you just raise your hand? And if you're wondering, hey, how do you define service? If you went to basic training or the equivalent, okay. All right, now I know who to look at when I'm starting to struggle up here. I pick basic training because that's usually where our war stories start. And we have so many. I was going to say MEPS, but nobody wants to admit that they ever went to MEPS. If you don't know what that is, that's when you join the Army, you go to the military entrance processing station where they do all your medical, and it is as joyous as it sounds. But I kind of wanted to see a few smiling faces this morning because some of the things I'm going to talk about are really challenging. And so just being able to look out in the crowd and see a few faces of people who can relate to what I'm talking about will help me to be able to try and not choke up. When we think about these holidays, you know, Veterans Day is a celebration of the willingness to serve, whereas Memorial Day truly honors the fallen that we have. And I have done many, many Memorial Day services And I'm not going to lie, when David called and asked me to preach, I was like super excited. And then when he told me what service it was, I was like, really? That's the one I get? And like, yeah, that's... And the reason it's so challenging for me is because of the way that I view death and the way that I've experienced death in combat, and just the way that we've been around it. And I don't find it as depressing and sad as many people do. Just as a quick story, I had this guy, I'm going to stop playing with my glasses. We had this guy that was in Afghanistan or was getting ready to go with us. We had moved from Northside, moved to Fort Stewart. The Army being the Army was like, man, we're so glad to have you. Welcome, pack your bags, you're late already. And so we got to Fort Stewart and deployed to Afghanistan within the first like 60 days of being on ground. But the day I went into the base, I had this young kid, right? This young infantry officer, his name was Jonam. Yeah, oh, I remember his name. Jonam was just a great kid. I mean, he was that hoo-hoo infantry, just graduated Ranger School, type A, take on the world kind of a guy. He still lived like he was in his frat house, and so many, like he was always just like that giddy type kind of, bro, what's up kind of guy. And I loved being around Jonam. I just assumed that he was going to be the very type A infantry officer. But he and I, like, literally walked through the lines in processing together. He was on my deployment with me, and he was so frustrated because as soon as he got to Afghanistan, they gave him a desk job, and here you have this 23-year-old kid who just wanted to go prove his worth, and they gave him a computer. And you know, that was just not where he was happy. But Jonam did something that most people don't do. You ever heard the phrase, there are no atheists in foxholes? Y'all ever heard that phrase? There are a ton of atheists in foxholes. What I discovered as a chaplain was that there are two types of people in the military that go to church. The ones who go to church when they're home because their wife makes them or their mom makes them, and so they're very adamant about being there, and then when they get to a deployment, like, there's nobody in chapel. And then you have the people who are truly sincere about their faith and won't miss a service. And Jonam was one of those guys. Like, I just did not expect this out of him. And we were doing a sermon series, and we were doing a sermon series on Noah. And here's Jonam, and he's like, hey, chaps, I think we ought to do the VBS song where Noah built the ark, you know. And he's up there doing all the hand motions. 24-year-old infantry, ranger tabbed officer, doing the hand motions to, I wished I could remember how the song went now. It was just hilarious. And I have it on video, I mean, of all things. So he'd been there for about a month and came to me one day and he's like, hey, Mick, you know, I'm really, really happy. I finally got my platoon assignment. And he left a couple of days later. And then within a week of being on a combat patrol, he was killed with eight other men for an IED blast. And I'm sad because I lost my friend. But Jonam taught me something about soldiers that I want you all to know today and to carry home with you. And that is that we have this grandiose idea of why soldiers go into combat, right? So, you know, we see them in the World War II movies. We see them, you know, fighting for freedom and to defeat communism and like all this stuff. And that may be why they joined. But the reality is when you're there, when you're in the middle of it, that's not in your brain. What's in your brain is the man or the woman who is next to you. And it's about being willing to lay your life down for that person so that they can go home. When Jonam died that day, I don't believe that he was thinking about freeing the Afghanis from oppression. He was thinking about doing his job and protecting his men. Now, there's a very quick disclaimer I want to throw out there. What I'm sharing with you today is Mickey's experience. This is not 100% of the military, and you may be able to go, that is not how my experience was, or that's not what I've seen in the news, and that's true. There are some other people that are out there, but what I am sharing with you is how I see our fighting forces and what my experiences was with by men and women. And the second disclaimer here is if I use the word soldiers instead of service members, please don't throw anything at me. I got it. There are sailors, airmen. We don't have any Space Force people in here, right? Okay, we can make fun of them then. That's great. Very quick side note, I got to serve with some Space Force people right after Space Force became a thing. And if you want to know what people in Space Force are like, go watch Big Bang Theory and just put them in a uniform. And that's that's who you have. I will be doing probably more joking around on a Memorial Day ceremony or Memorial Day service than is probably normal. But a lot of it has to do with, one, my personality. But two, it's how I've dealt with it. I deal with most things in life via humor. And so it's not about being callous. It is about just how I experienced combat. On the same deployment that I was with Jonam on, we had... I helped arrange 20 hero flights. And what hero flights are flights where we load the soldiers that we lost in combat onto a helicopter, and we fly their remains home. 20. And that's just the number of events. That's not the number of people. And we did it at 1 o'clock in the morning so that we didn't get shelled while doing it. I have conducted over 50 memorial ceremonies, services, and funerals for soldiers that we have either lost in combat or lost in age. Did a lot of World War II veteran funerals over the last couple of years. And so when I joke around about this stuff, I'm not trying to be funny or callous. It's just the experience that I got to have and the way that I saw their sacrifice. So that's who I am. That's why I'm here. This is what we're going to be talking about. So who are we as service members? Again, there are you guys, everybody in this room probably already knew who the service members were when I said, hey, you know, guys, raise your hands. And you may not have known who they were because they told you, but you looked at them or you were around them one day at church and you're like, there's something special about that person. And not the sweet kind of special, like that bless his heart kind of special. You know, right? I mean, we're just a little different. And that kind of makes us really good at what we do. All right, so when my kids are in Vacation Bible School, I remember the picture. I remember Micah being up here singing. And the song that he sang on this stage was Jesus Loves the Little Children. How's the next part go? All the children of the world. We know this song, we've sang this song, we've been a part of this song, but how often do we really look at all of the children of this world and we say, they are mine? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that person. Service members may act a little different because our lives depend on it. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what color your skin is. I really don't care your family parentage. In reality, we really don't care about your orientation. Like, that's not a thing. We care about the person. You may absolutely hate the guy that you're serving with. I got one. And Sarah told me to not mention his name on stage just in case he's listening. And I was like, this dude, I could not stand at all. And I was his chaplain, and I still didn't like this man. But if I had been asked to lay down my life for him, I'd have done it in a heartbeat. Because that was our job. It was what we were called to do. So none of the things that general society sees as an issue becomes an issue. There was a Facebook post. I looked everywhere for it. ChatGPT couldn't find it. And it's like, you know, soldiers are a little different. I had a Mexican cook my food last night. I had an Indian cut my hair. I had this person do my laundry, and this person helped me make my bed. And, like, it's all the people of the world. And they are the people that we love to be with. So, yeah, we're just a little bit special. I don't know if God created us that way or if our branch of service going through basic training, something they put in the mashed potatoes that made us halfway crazy. I don't know if that was part of it, but it could have been. But there is this certain shared suffering that creates a bond with all of our service members. It is a shared understanding of what we have said we are going to do. So, how do we honor our fallen? I said it before, you know, if you go and you look at every military doctrine that's out there, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Space Force, Coast Guard, every one of them will tell you that their primary role is to fight and win our nation's wars. Right? I mean, that's what a great concept. And there are a lot of people that join the Army to help the United States fight and win our nation's wars. But, like I said before, that may not be the reason that they laid their life down. Odds are it's not. They laid their life down because the person to their left or to their right required it. And they were willing to give that sacrifice. I mean, like, how does this play into this sermon? Like, how does this play into what you need to know about Memorial Day? And here's what I believe. I believe that there are atheists in foxholes. I believe that there are people in there who don't want anything to do with God, and yet they are still willing to lay their life down for their brother. Why? Because they love them. I believe that everybody in this room and anybody who's ever served, like anybody who's ever been born, was created to love. And when everything else goes out the window and you have no other need, no other pressing need at that moment, we are given the opportunity to shine by showing our love. And it can be challenging, especially for Christians. You know, we sit there and we think, well, you know, if they don't have God or they don't, listen, there are some of the greatest people in the world that don't believe like we do, that act great, that show love. But the problem is eventually one day their tank's going to run out. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. One of the most overused verses on Memorial Day is the one that was on the screen. I think it's been on the screen three times this morning so far. It is this. It is John chapter 15 and verse 12. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay his life down for his friends. I mean, what an amazing, passionate statement to make on Memorial Day. And it is. I mean, it's overused for a reason because it fits. It's what we need to hear. But what I'm going to ask you to hear this morning is there is so much more to this verse. To understand why Jesus said this, I believe that we need to go and we need to look at his surrounding at that time. So if you have your Bibles and you want to turn, or you're one of those people who makes bookmarks and highlighter points, we're going to stay basically in the book of John. We are going to go into the book of Matthew very quickly at the end. But I want us to focus on all of the passages that are leading up to Jesus making this statement. And it really begins in John chapter 13. And if you read verses 1 through 20, what you have is Jesus is about to go into the Passover feast with his disciples. And so they've gathered in this room. And one of the most amazing events like that you can imagine being with Jesus and him doing this happens. And it's the washing of the disciples' feet. If you are an old school Southern Baptist, you may have actually attended a foot washing. And I'm telling you, I would rather go to a snake handling church than wash anybody's feet. And I don't like snakes. I mean, like, that's just not a thing for me. When Sarah's like, babe, I need a foot massage, I send her to Massage Envy because I ain't doing it. I mean, like, that is not my thing. But Jesus is about to go into the Passover, the most important event of their year because of what it symbolized. And they go into this room and he's got all of his disciples and he's got all of his friends around him and they're looking at Jesus, and he takes off his outer garment and he gets down on his knees and he washes their stinking feet. That is a servant's job. That is not the guest of honor's job. And he did it. And he did it with joy, He was so excited to show love to his disciples. He cared so much for them. And then Jesus makes this statement. Of course, Simon Peter is my favorite character in the New Testament because he reminds me so much of me. That dude has ADHD, autism, like he is everything, right? I mean, like he's just spun out. And he makes this just dumb comment. But Jesus responds to him, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Folks, if you need it, I'll wash your feet, but man, it's going to be a challenge. But it wasn't for Jesus. And he did this just for them. In verse 15, he tells them why. "For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done for you." So here we are, the high holy day of the year, and Jesus is not talking about the law. He is talking about love. I think that in reading this passage, I think I could have done it. I really do. Like if I'd have had to, I think I could have washed their feet. But here's what I don't think I could have done. I don't think I could have washed Judas's feet. Just be honest. There is nowhere in Scripture where it said Jesus passed him by. Knowing what was about to happen, Jesus washed Judas's feet. I was running over some of the stuff with a buddy of mine yesterday. He goes, "Oh, I'd have washed Judas's feet, all right. I'd have cut him off and washed him right in front of him." So we ask the question, because if you read John chapter 21, going all the way through verse 30, you see where Jesus acknowledges what is about to happen and who is about to do it. How in the world could he wash his feet? And here's what I believe. I believe that Jesus' humanity of service, his ability to do that, was because of his relationship with his Father. It's the only way that he could have done it. If you move a little bit more, even more forward, we have John chapter 13 and verse 34. And he says, right? So we've gone through, this isn't about law, this is about love. I'm going to wash your feet. And then he follows it up with this: "A new commandment that I am giving to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. Why? By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." What a powerful moment that Jesus has with his men. He tells his men, "I need you to wash their feet and I need you to love them." And Jesus knows that it's going to be tough. If you read on through Scripture in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." And then if you read on further through the book of John, right, he says, "Hey, if the world hates you, it's okay. You need to know the world's going to hate you because it hated me first." Jesus was not unaware of what was about to happen to him. He just chose to not make that the point. He chose to make the point his love. If you continue to read through John chapter 4 or John 14, you'll find where Jesus tells his men how they can love others, and he does so by telling them about the relationship with their Heavenly Father. And then he tells them, "Hey, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit." I have no idea what this is. So after all that, we're going to get to the meat of the message. And that is in John chapter 15 and verse 12. So he's gone through all this. He's experienced Judas. He's acknowledged Judas being in the room. He still loved on him. And then he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. I could end Memorial Day ceremony right there. But where we get the cheat notes is that we know what happens. We know that Jesus is going to be resurrected, that he's going to come back to life. We know the ending, but his disciples didn't. Jesus knew the pain that he was about to go through. And I believe that this is why he shared that. He wanted them to know that what I'm about to do is not because of a law, but I'm doing it because I love you. In John chapter 18 through verse 9, or through chapter 19, we read about the death of Jesus. He gave us the command to love, and he gave us the example to love. And so I gave you all that to give you your take home. How can you love like that? I was driving, I live in Abilene, Texas, and I had to drive to Fort Worth to get here on Friday. It's a 3-hour drive. I'm gonna start flying out of Abilene. It is absolutely not worth flying or driving to Dallas. And I'm using ChatGPT in my truck to take notes, right? I'm like, all right, hey, I need you to put this down. I need this bullet point here. And I have my sermon in my head. I've got it mostly written out. And so I'm just kind of rearranging it with AI. And in the middle of this, I'm talking about love. And I'm like, what in the world is that semi truck doing? He almost killed me. I got so mad. I have ChatGPT is a smart aleck from the word go for me. And she was like, I don't think that fits in your sermon very well. Yes, thank you, ma'am. I really do appreciate it. And then a couple of hours later, I was listening to the radio or listening to my AirPods, and this song came on called God is Love. Y'all ever heard this song? I'm going to try and read a few of the words. And dadgummit, I'm already crying before I read it. And I'm not crying because I'm sad, but because what an awesome example. Some of the words in the song is, you don't just tolerate us. You don't have somewhere to go. And this came on right after I was yelling at that semi truck because I had somewhere to go. Your mercy is not a favor. Your presence isn't rushed. And then they close with how vast the Father's heart for us will never reach the end. I thought for sure I found it, but he proved me wrong again. That is the love that we were called to share to those truck drivers that cut us off, to that person who's rude to us in the grocery store. If you're a teacher, to that parent who yelled at you because their kid is horrible anyway. To the parent who is struggling to love their child wherever they are. To the pastor who has to deal with real church stuff. To the soundboard guy who has to deal with idiots bringing in PowerPoint presentations right before service starts. You don't just tolerate us. And that, my friends, is God's love. So after we left Northside and started moving around with the Army quite a bit, we started attending North Point Church in Atlanta, and I heard probably one of the most life-changing sermons of my life, and I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that was where this sermon actually came from today. Not from his sermon itself. But it's this idea of love that I had never really thought about. I had been born and raised as a Southern Baptist preacher's kid that was ordained by the Southern Baptist Church. I mean, like, cut me, I bleed casserole, the whole nine yards. Like, what a friend we have in Jesus. It took everything I had to not sing that this morning. I promised the guys in the back I wouldn't do it so that, you know, I didn't kill people. I heard this sermon that was talking about the only thing that we have to do is love. And I'm like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, I mean, that doesn't work for me because there's all these rules. There's all these laws. It's like, no, it's just about love. Memorial Day is about remembering the fallen. Some of them may have died for a greater cause, but I believe it was for love of one another. And when we think about soldiers, and if you have ever known anyone and lost anyone in combat, I want you to know that most soldiers are only looking for one thing, and that is peace. Whether it's peace on the battlefield, peace in their mind, peace in their heart, peace with their family, peace with God. That's it. They're just looking for peace. And I don't know how well this quote is going to go over this morning. I've tried it once before in a church and got in trouble. It's from Star Wars, it's not a Bible verse. But there's this quote that has to do with combat, and Rose said, "That's how we're going to win, not fighting what we hate, but saving what we love." That's what we're called to do, is to save what we love. We have the opportunity, we have the command, we have the resources to carry on the mission of these soldiers who were willing to lay down their lives for those that were standing next to them. And now I'm going to tell you how you can do it too. It is a verse that you all know very well in Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 35. It says this, "And one of them, a lawyer," I mean, any lawyers in the room? I want to thank you. Because y'all are the ones that got Jesus to make this statement, right? So the Pharisees go and they try to stump the chump with Jesus, which is a bad idea. And so they get there and a lawyer said, well, then what's the greatest commandment? And he said, to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment. And the second one is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Y'all all heard this, right? Y'all know this passage relatively well. And so when I think about how hard it is to love that semi-truck driver, or how hard it is to be around that commander, or how hard it is to do whatever, I'm like, God, how do we do this? How do we show the same love that soldiers laid down in combat? How do we do that for the people who are around us that are unlovable? Where does our power come from? And the awesome part is Jesus, he just told us. The first commandment is to love God. Now, I brought up the whole Southern Baptist thing earlier because I really was. I was raised in a church that was very fundamental and was very legalistic, right? Follow the rules, follow the law. I have ADHD, and I was a preacher's kid. Like, I didn't do any of those things. And so, I stayed in trouble most of the time. But as I've gotten older, I've realized that for me to be able to love other people, I have to have God in my life. And when I'm getting frustrated with my neighbor, when I am struggling with loving my neighbor as myself, it means that's because my relationship with God is not where it needs to be. So my take home, my question to you this morning is, as you are thinking about the men and women who are willing to lay their lives down for those who are standing next to them to show them the ultimate sacrifice of love, how can you do it? You can do it by maintaining a relationship with your Heavenly Father. We talk about the law. We talk about Bible study, prayer, tithe, church attendance, volunteer, in case you haven't had a volunteer pitch in a while. So we have all these things that we can do. But that's not, you don't do them to make God happy. You do them because you are in a relationship with God and you want to grow closer to them. We must practice what we preach, and we must live these lives out. I told you I was going to make this full circle. My wife gave me the signal that it was time for me to shut up. So I want to let you know this. My family considers, we consider this church our home. We have not been here since 2012. Some of you look so much better. Some of you, bless your heart. All right. But this is the place where we grew the most. I actually ended up coming here, leaving a really bad church experience and wanting to walk away from the faith. And while I was here, God reached out and touched me because of you guys. I finished seminary, and then I went to serve as a chaplain in the Army for 15 years. And I was able to do it because of y'all. Keep doing what you're doing. Nobody had a clue that when I sat next to them in this congregation back in 2006, that I was ever going to be anything more than a drunk. But they loved me anyway. As a church, keep doing what you're doing. Continue to show that God is love. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us this time today to look at your word. Father, there have been so many that have fallen to ensure that we have freedoms. But God, they did it because of the love that they had for the one next to them. May we never forget their sacrifice. But God, may we never forget your sacrifice of sending Jesus to die on the cross so that we could love our neighbor, so that we could show them where we fill our tank, and we fill that with you in your presence. So God, we thank you for the soldiers, we thank you for the veterans, we thank you for those families who did not get to receive their service member home. God, may you bless us all, and may you give us the strength, the power, and the courage to share your love across the world. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.